Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Come through, Queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, Queen.
Hi, everyone. It's Dan.
And Brendan.
And this is Come Through Queen. Hey, Brendan.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We have a ton of stuff going on. We have reunions filming left and right. Looks. We got taglines for new shows coming out. But also, we have a Patreon pre-show for you. We have a bonus episode with 15 iconic moments. I want to add an addendum to my Alexia iconic moment.
Sure.
I want to say the way that she calls everyone bro it's iconic to me.
It's iconic to you.
Let's see what we actually landed on in the bonus episode.
I want to add something to that, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think the way that she is morphing into Teresa Giudice is iconic.
Oh, yeah.
In both looks and attitude.
It's kind of like two become one.
Yes.
Okay. So you'll have to head on over to comethroughqueen.com for links to Patreon to check that out. But let's get to Potomac reunion looks.
Okay, so we're in blue.
We knew to look out for blue.
Yeah, thank you, Dave Quinn.
Dave Quinn tweeted, today's a great day to wear blue, I think. I don't know. On the day they were filming it. So I was like, I know what's going on. Because Potomac has been in sync for years now.
Yeah, they always wear the same color.
Yeah, which I wish, like, let's make it a rule, right?
I like them setting up others for failure. Like when they did whatever theme they did for OC last season.
Okay.
And it was just like, what?
I mean, I think to me the worst is Beverly Hills. It looks like we're all going somewhere different.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So we posted on the Come Through Queen Instagram page a little like a Brady Bunch photo of all the gals in their reunion looks. We'll start with, like, the very top row of that post.
Yeah, so the Marsha, if you will.
The Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Is Giselle.
Giselle. Giselle. Jizzy.
Can I just say?
As a Giselle super fan.
I will say, the best her glam has looked in several reunions.
I love the half up, half down.
The past few years, she's been doing, like, hair down. It just, I mean, like, she always looks great, but, like, this half up, half down, and, like, the makeup look is just, like, it's a serve.
Okay. Where things go astray is from the neck. It's, like, not today neck, not today shoulders, not today waist, not today hip, not today leg.
The thing is, it's growing on me. The color's great.
The color's great. The material, I don't know about.
People are comparing it to Power Rangers, and can I famously say one of my early celebrity crushes
was
Billy the Blue Ranger.
Yeah, so it's like an homage.
An homage to him, and she's giving a shout out to me.
It is giving Party City Diamond.
Yeah.
Incrustation.
And she's doing the thing that I hate in Housewives world now, which is like the dress with the connected glove.
Okay, so you know what? Adriana had a very similar look to this and her confessional. And I hate to say it, served it better than this.
No, I didn't like Adriana's confessional. Sorry. Okay. I know you texted about that earlier than I saw the confessional. I was like, he's just a blind stand and I'm a blind stand. So it's like, where are the blind fans going to meet?
It's truly the blind leading the blind.
Though I will say one thing about it. It's unique.
Okay, next up. One, Ashley Darby, or should I say, giving full-blown Doja Cat.
And this is where I'm like, it's not unique. This is the same thing every girl seems to wear at every award show these days.
Okay. But it's like, I don't know if the other girls could do this. So it's like, let's give it to the girly.
I mean, of course she looks gorgeous, perfect. Her hair, she's doing different hair than we usually see than her.
Yeah, we haven't seen this. She's serving Bob in a salad dressing.
Stop trying to make that reference that you don't even know how to say.
Okay. I mean, great. Not my top two, but I love it.
Not my top two. Also, like, it's not as blue as the others, so it, like, kind of looks a little set apart from the others. Though I will say there's one glaringly, like, different person in this, but we'll get to her.
Okay, we'll get to her. Next up at bat, the main pop girl, Candace Dillard-Bassett.
One of the top toots of the week.
Yeah, this for me ties for top toot.
And this is reminiscent of, for me, the Wendy Yellow reunion look, where we know we've got
leg.
We've got good slit and we're gonna get good leg while sitting.
Yeah. I think Candace hasn't served us iconic reunion looks, and this might be her best yet.
Yeah, she looks great. And then they posed her against this like pink piano, so it just makes it pop.
Yeah, it makes it pop. Next up, and I am a Robin fan, but for me, this might be the boot of the week.
It's the worst look of the week.
It's okay, so we're going to be on the heels of her wedding, and it's kind of giving me Mother of the Bride.
I mean, my mom wore a similar color to my sister's wedding and like outsold.
And she was the titular Mother of the Bride.
She was the titular Mother of the Bride, yeah.
Yeah. It's just the hair's a little boring.
The color is like different than the rest of the women's dresses. It doesn't quite fit in.
Yeah. Oh, was this the one you were referring
to? Yeah. Don't you see like when seeing them all together, like they all kind of are in the same, and then like it's like Robin with this like glaringly different.
Well, I'd say Ashley, Robin, and Wendy are like the three outliers.
No, but Ashley and Wendy like have notes that fit in with the rest of the women.
Okay. Grand Dame.
Okay. So when I first saw the photos, I was like, I don't know. But now that I'm like reassessing, I'm like, if you want to be the Grand Dame.
This is Grand Dame. Especially, it's like, imagine like two Grand Dames walk into a room. Only one leaves. It's Karen Huger. It's not Cha-Cha.
We'll get to Cha-Cha because I've got thoughts. No, but this is, she's killing it.
I mean, especially, I want to say, head hair is A++.
Head hair.
I wasn't sure about the dress, but the more I look at it more, the more I'm loving it.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Head hair. I think you like say like, just like her glam, maybe.
Okay.
You meant her face?
Yeah. I mean the full 360. Okay. Next up at bat, Jacqueline.
I say for your first rodeo, this is incredible. I think she looks incredible.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing, and I mentioned this last week, it's almost like shocking that, like, you know, we're seeing her in a confessional for the first time. We're seeing her in a reunion for the first time. And it's not our normal day-to-day Jacqueline, which, like, we've come to know day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, the dress is simple, but, like, the head hair.
The head hair.
the glam looks amazing. Like, I think she hit it out of the park.
I think Brad and the rest of the crew on the E! Red carpet need to start using head hair.
No, I think that's, like, offensive. Oh, what? it dehumanizes people.
But, like, I love all these humans so much. I really can't get that across, except when we come to Cha-Cha Slide now.
Okay, but I'm sorry. Everything aside, Miss Cha-Cha Slide, I think, hit it out of the park for her.
Okay, I think, though, if memory serves, there was a reunion look that she was kind of serving. I think it was, like, a green look. I don't know. That was when she did a little bang. Maybe not. Yeah. Okay, maybe this is her best reunion.
I think she, honestly, like, I don't think she's bringing much to the season, but I think this look is great.
It's definitely starting a conversation.
Yeah. And she's giving same or similar hair as Giselle.
Mm. Yes, 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 yes.
Two allies.
Yeah, two allies.
Which, like, come on, Giselle, let's stop being allies.
Yeah. One, Ms. Mia Thornton, which I think it's good, but I kind of expect more from her.
This is... If I were to, like, sync up a Mia reunion look in a lab, I would come up with this.
Yeah, it's, like, not exciting us.
If I was in Dexter's laboratory or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a place to be.
Yeah.
And as Vanessa Williams once said, you went and saved the best for last.
You really have to give it to Dr. Wendy.
She's taking it.
I mean...
It is giving a statement. It is giving degrees.
It's giving Peacock. It's giving Peacock because this will air on Peacock the next day.
Next day promo right now.
Yeah.
It's giving legs, hips, body.
The thing is, she always knows what to do with her legs. Mm. Like, since that yellow, actually her, okay, not to.
Yeah, yeah.
That yellow reunion look that she did might go down.
In herstory.
In herstory has top 5 reunion looks of all time across all franchises.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh my God, we should do this one day. But we need to do it with, like, a person who knows what they're talking about.
I mean, we know. Okay, right. Someone who will say her head and her hair. No, but this is going to go down in history as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it didn't even occur to me the Peacock promo, but it is, like, network synergy right now.
It's like, let me see your Peacock. She's also promoting Katy Perry's, 2012 song, Peacock?
Sure. Wow. I mean, at the end of the day, there's no losers here. No. There's not. We love
it. Robin.
I would say she's still winning.
And, like, I mean, people will say Giselle's losing, but she's here to make the girls talk.
But we always say, like, we need to see it in motion. We need to see them sitting. So you never know how it's going to land, right?
Well, exactly. Everyone talks so much shit about Wendy's yellow look when she was standing.
And then when she sat down.
Hello.
She shut you all up. Speaking of sitting down, Miami seating chart.
Let's go.
And, you know, I feel like I'm actually less excited about seating charts. What was the one where, like, it was a complete mishmash that was pretty recent?
When we talked about last week? For Potomac?
Oh, yeah, it was Potomac.
Yeah.
It was like, who even cared? Like, the Potomac seating chart actually didn't interest me that much.
The Potomac seating chart was like, no, this person should be over here, this person should be over
here. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, everyone is just wherever.
This one's interesting, though.
This one... There's a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
So I'll start all the way to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of her first reunion.
Thank God.
Kiki.
Queen.
Next up, friend of Marisol. Then we have three cast members in a row. Alexia, which to be the furthest cast member.
And like, she used to be the main girly.
She used to be the main girly. Then Larsa.
Yeah.
Then Lisa Hochstein.
Well, Lisa is the main girly as far as like drama this year.
Oh yeah. So like this is also an uneven thing because there's five on one couch, four on another. So like in a way, Lisa's in the middle.
Yeah.
Next to Andy. Then next to Andy on the other side of Lisa, Dr. Nicole Martin.
That's what happens when you go for someone, girls. It means Alexia, you're going to be third in and she's going to be number one. Hello.
The fact that we started the season and people were saying, Dr. Nicole Martin, wake up. Code blue. This is a code blue.
Code Potomac reunion dress.
Code Potomac reunion dress. And she answered, like a good doctor, she answered the call.
Is that what you like click in the... Is that what you say to doctors, code blue?
So when I think when it's like when someone's dying in their little bed, you say, code blue,
okay.
Get over here. And she came running. Next to her, our little weirdo, Julia.
Our little goat girly.
Rounding out the weirdos, Adriana, the dream team.
I mean, we'll get to it. There was a moment during this week's episode where the three of them were in like a weird embrace on the couch at Alexia's house. And I'm like, I love our weirdos.
Yeah, of course. So, okay. Dr. Cole, Julia, main cast. Adriana, friend of Gertie, main cast on the end.
I think what's going on here is that I think Gertie, her schedule got really busy during...
Yeah.
Because, like, she promoted her business. Now she was wanted everywhere.
And then also you have to remember, when they were filming season four, things were a little tougher for wedding seasons.
Because of COVID.
COVID.
Yeah. So she's a lot busier. I don't know. It's just, like, for her and Kiki to both be on the end, that's, come on. Ugh.
Visually.
Can we not?
Not a great look.
And just, like, Gertie's at home scenes have been some of my favorite parts of this of this season.
Yeah.
I love playing heads up with her family.
That was great. I've complained about the sleepy husband a little bit.
I love the sleepy husband.
I know, but like different strokes for different folks. Either way, I can't wait for this reunion. I mean, this season, I ranked this Miami as my top franchise second year running.
Oh yeah. Catch Dan's rankings at the end of the year. I didn't know we were all supposed to do rankings, but at the end of this year, every gay person was ranking everything.
Following in my footsteps.
I need to like rank something this year. What should I even rank? I also need to like count my books, I guess.
Yeah.
And like get on Letterboxd.
Set a goal. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Letterboxd. Oh, yeah. You guys are complaining about my harsh ratings on Letterboxd.
Oh, well, Dan.
We talked about that on the podcast, I think.
Yeah. Dan gave a bad rating to Megan. And then he's going to claim it's like his favorite movie later, I'm sure.
I think like you can enjoy a movie and then also think like it's not a perfect movie.
Okay.
Shall we get to Jersey taglines?
Yes. So just released today. How do we usually do this? Like, do we do care or not?
Don't we care? Read them and we like
say care or don't care
or a toot or a boo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to start with Teresa, of course.
Oh, which actually closes out the taglines, but yes.
Yeah, but on BravoTV.com. Okay.
Well, of course, they're putting Tree front and center.
Of course. Yeah. So, blood be... Sorry, I can't talk. It's like us trying to say Quinn Freiwigs in our bonus episode. Yeah. Anyways, blood may be thicker than water, but it's harder to clean when it spills.
I think it's I care, and I kind of care about all of them.
Yeah.
But for her, it's like, this sentence would never go through your brain.
Sure, exactly. But it's it's also like a sentence that we're not coming back from this. It's over between the family.
Yeah. I mean, I am interested to see where we end. But we have a long road ahead of us.
Yeah. So Zia Melis.
Who started the taglines, yeah.
You'll never see how toxic someone is until you breathe fresher air.
I kind of like hers a little bit more than Tree's.
No, this is so lame compared to Tree's, and I'm not even a tree hugger.
I mean, this to me is like a little like subtle The Last of Us promo.
Okay, but you can't relate it to an HBO show she knows nothing about.
I know.
Yeah. I'm going to relate it to Fresh Air on NPR.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Terry Gross.
Oh, yeah. So I don't care.
Okay.
Jennifer Aiden, payback's a bitch, so start barking. I care.
I care about anything Jennifer Aiden does.
This is 10 out of 10.
Okay. Well, also, like, she knows how to deliver versus a Teresa who's like someone's in her ear, like reciting the line.
Also, the photo of her posted on Bravo's Instagram with this quote is like the "I'm dressed like a Christmas" package.
Yes.
Okay, Dolores.
Mm. Oh well,
this is a novel. This Jersey girl has the luck of the Irish, and nobody's screwing with my pot of gold.
I mean, I think a nod to Irish to the show Connor Behan.
Yeah, this is Connor promo. This is me promo. This is you promo. I am Irish.
Yeah, I mean, I love her diving in head first. Watch as she dives in into this new chapter in her life.
And people always complain that Dolores doesn't have a storyline. Now she's giving storyline in her tagline.
Yes. Yeah. Care.
Welcome back, scumbag.
Oh my god, that is her most iconic.
did we already do her?
I don't think we've done her. No.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Marge. I'm a loyal friend and a lethal enemy.
I care.
Lame ass corny.
Oh!
I'm sorry. Okay. Look, you've been here for how many years? Do better.
Okay. But you know what? Sometimes, like a tagline, you don't know the true meaning until like something happens later in the season. Something lethal might happen.
Is she going to kill someone? She's going to kill
No, but does that ever like, does that go through your head? Because it goes through my head. Like when I read the taglines, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I don't understand this.
But
maybe one day I will.
You know, maybe we should start doing when the reunion starts, we should go back and revisit the taglines.
Revisit, okay.
To see if they were sending us messages.
They were it's like they were blinking as they were delivering them, yeah.
Now we've got Rachel Fuda.
Okay.
I'm too busy running a business to care about yours.
Okay, this one's my least favorite, but then I think the same rule applies. Like, we're going to learn about the business, I guess.
This is also like classic first season housewife. Mm,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Let's just try to get through it. And then now we've got Danielle Cabral, star of True Life, Staten Island.
Yeah, I'm rooting for her.
I may be over the top, but I'd rather be bougie than basic.
Okay, I know what this means, and I'm sure it'll be on the show. She has like a kids clothing line called like Bougie Kids or something.
Okay.
So that's why we're getting the bougie promo.
Okay, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, those were two like first season housewives that are like, ugh.
Sure.
All right, Vicky Gunvalson.
The Vicky snore. Okay. I'm excited. We're just a few weeks away.
I know. Can't wait.
Okay. We promise.
Wait, though, before we say we can't wait, we need to talk about the fact they did not get updated title cards. So we're still living in 2017 with these girls.
I want to say 2017, but Jen Aiden reshot.
Right.
With the new girls for some reason. So Teresa is still in. Someone is still in an outfit where Marge was in pigtails. And then Marge got to reshoot, and then...
But this is still the same intro style back when Siggy Flicker first came about. And I think it was either 2016 or 2017.
I just don't understand the math of like... Okay. Danielle Cabral and Rachel Fuda were setting up a room for them. Can't we just get these girls in the room like 1, 2, 3, 4, like ba 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 ba?
You would think... And then you see they have a gorgeous, like, their gorgeous promo photo shoot.
Yeah.
So, like, can't we get some video cameras in there? Like, can't we shoot on an iPhone?
I promise you it's okay. the promo shoot can be the tagline looks.
Yeah. We need like the economics of like Real Housewives and like how much budget's going in here. Because I heard somebody say, well, maybe like they have a really low budget and then so much of the budget goes to Teresa and then maybe Melissa because they've been along around that long. But it's like you're doing budget stuff with other things like this like purple promo photo shoot. So like, let's get some... I'll get in there.
I'll do it for free. Yeah. I volunteer. Okay. Let's dip a toe into the real friends.
Friends.
We?
Yes.
I mean, we need to talk about it because this is biting off of the Real Housewives.
Yeah. And it's like, we're also queer guys. And like, this has been a lot of the discourse this past week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since it was announced, it was, we hate the show.
Yeah. So I only watched last night around 10 p.m. And I was like thinking of like, oh, I'm going to go to bed. Mm. Maybe I won't watch the show. Then I was like, oh, I'll just watch it.
Okay.
And I must say.
Oh.
No. I just think given everything in the discourse, I was like expecting it to be the worst thing I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
I thought the first episode was interesting as far as reality television and the way it was set up and how the moment we're stepping on this show, all these people are talking about their decisions to be on this show.
Yeah.
And then even we're getting Todrick talking about his reactions after the promos for the show came out.
Yeah.
So I think that is interesting as a like reality TV watcher.
Yeah.
And I think there's like, it's interesting, like they're obviously not that close of friends. These people loosely know each other.
Yeah.
But it's like, what else do you name this show if it can't be, you're not going to name it Real Gays of WeHo because it's not a Kathy Griffin 2008 special. We're not going to name it like...
F words.
No, of course. So it's like, it's I see where they why they landed on Friends. Mm-mm. I mean, they could have done like Real Boys of WeHo to all be right. like Real Girlfriends of Paris. Right.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
Something else I wanted to point out. Remember when we like were talking about like, oh, are we going to see Gary? We're going to see Jonathan?
Yeah.
Everyone brought out the big guns. The first episode.
Yeah, you texted me, I think, as you were watching it.
Yeah.
And you were, like, texting me, like, who's on it? And, like, I wasn't surprised about Gary or Jonathan, because I expected. But then, like, when you mentioned Issa Rae, I was like, what?
I know. There's, like, an actor who was on Insecure who was like, Issa, get in here real quick.
No, but I thought their conversation... Actually, he's probably the most interesting character on the entire show. What's his name?
I forgot.
Okay, but so... His first sit down is basically with Issa Rae, and they're talking about like him coming, making the decision to come out, him making the decision to be on the show.
Yeah.
He was talking about how when he told Issa that he was going to be on the show, she was like, what? Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that type of thing. But then she agreed to be on the show. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And then you discovered at Joey's engagement party, who's giving Todrick a run for his money of being like the most obnoxious person on the show. There was a producer.
So I didn't really discover this as much as I listen to Jeff Lewis live every day.
Okay, yeah.
And so at Joey Zauzig's engagement party, this woman named Jen Green was there. And
she's a chump.
She's a chump.
Okay, but okay, so maybe you didn't discover it like you were like mining in the mines, but like I haven't seen anyone talk about this.
Yes. So one sec.
She is a chump, which means a Jeff Lewis Live cast member, which means someone who shows up on his radio show often.
Yes. So first of all, I just want to get everyone's names clear.
Okay.
So the actor we were talking about is named Curtis Hamilton.
Okay.
And then now we're at Joey Zauzig's engagement party.
Yeah.
And Curtis invites Dorian Renaud.
Who is Chief Grump.
He has a skincare line and he's the CEO and he is very into being a CEO.
And a grump.
And so the thing that Dan's talking about is there's this chump named Jen Green.
Yes.
Who is actually like a reality TV producer.
Yes.
She produced, the reason she's always on Jeff Lewis's show is she produced his show Hollywood Housewife on Amazon.
Okay, right.
But she also like did some producing or some talent producing for Real Housewives of Miami, at least season 4, because she's always on with Leah Black. And she had talked probably like this summer, I was listening to an episode where she had talked about trying to get Leah back on Real Housewives of Miami.
Which we know happens.
Which, yeah. And so she's in this scene at Joey's party. And I think she was standing in the scene being like, not a lot's happening here. And like, maybe I should start like producing. Getting like producing. So she's the one who starts talking to Dorian
yeah.
and like, is like asking him how he feels about Joey and like all this stuff. And then she's the one who then starts talking to Joey being like, oh, you should go try to be friends with him. Like all this stuff. So like, you can see this woman in scene as a guest of the show producing reality television.
Yeah, which like this is already kind of a meta show in terms of we're talking about being on the show.
Yeah.
And we have a producer producing on camera.
Like, and if you go look at her credits, she's got like a long list of credits like Bachelor shows. She's done Real Housewives in New York.
Okay.
So it's just like very interesting to see her. And then also like for a chump to be there. So it like feels like special. Chosen family.
Yeah.
Chosen family.
Sick. I mean, given the discourse, I was interested in what was going on.
Yeah, and I actually think I will continue watching. Yeah. It feels elevated to me compared to when we watched the A-List 10 years ago. Yeah, like, back then also felt like a fake group of friends, but like...
Sure.
None of them were like famous, like this group of friends.
Yeah.
Like, we've got like... At least we're with like Brad. I like being with Brad. I like being with Gary.
Yeah. Karen? I mean, like, they're so happy to be on TV. But, like, while I was watching, I was like, I just don't understand. Like, you're on TV already a lot.
People I know. But, I mean, like, is the thing true where they only start grounding turkey close to Thanksgiving?
I fed you turkey tonight.
I know. And I can go buy turkey at the grocery store, I feel like, every day.
That turkey was not... in the freezer from Thanksgiving. It was from the supermarket this week, baby.
Maybe that's an LA thing.
Maybe in LA, like, there's a turkey shortage.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. No, but I mean, like, I like Curtis. I like Brad. I like James. We didn't get a lot of James.
Ooh. James, the accent was giving me a lot of... It was giving me Glass Onion.
Yes.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming for Daniel Craig's wig, I would say.
Yeah, I'm going to keep on watching. I just think it's like a fascinating like look into reality TV in 2003 and like how we do it.
Yeah, 2023.
Oh, I said 2003.
You're giving Last of Us flashback word.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about 2003 earlier.
Yeah. Sound off in the comments below if you care or don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. Potomac.
Care.
Same. We have a match. Okay. Giselle has bubble guts.
I feel that.
The montage of her, like, having one of everything at the buffet was iconic. Yeah, no.
The thing about, like, and this goes back to, I always think, when I think about women eating on these shows, I always go back to the 100-episode special for Real Housewives of OC.
Where they don't eat.
Where Tamara and, like, Heather both explain, like, why they never eat on camera. Mm-mm. And I'm like, thank God for, like, the other women, the modern Real Housewives, who, like, will chow down.
Sure. So this is a Giselle Mia morning after one-on-one. By the, like, the pool bar.
Yeah, we're doing a couple of these this morning.
Yeah. And Giselle's saying to Mia, Wendy is jealous of you.
So stupid.
Made me sick to my stomach. How do you answer for this as a Giselle?
Excuse me. Have I not spent this entire season speaking out against Giselle's bullshit.
I know. I just want the tail between your legs.
I've been having the tail this entire season. Right. I don't have any answer. She's being an asshole this season. I mean, she always is an asshole, but like this season, she's lost. I think what needs to happen is maybe Robin needs to be demoted.
Don't you dare. No, but here's the thing. I'm saying...
Oh, like, how do you explain Robin then? She has worse behavior than Giselle.
Oh, no, but Robin to me has had more iconic moments this season.
But worse behavior.
I know. Wendy is the winner. And like the speaker.
Exactly. She's been queen bully and Giselle's getting all the bad... I mean, Giselle deserves what she deserves. But I'm just saying, if I have to answer, you have to answer. Everyone always expects me to answer.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm fine with all the shenanigans because, like, I still like everyone. It's like, this is like compare and contrast Salt Lake City. I don't like the shenanigans and I like no one.
Well, I mean, I know who you like on Salt Lake City. You just don't want to admit.
Oh my God. No, I admit who I like and who I don't like. Okay. Karen and Ashley, which is where we get the ball rolling. The grand and dumb special Potomac unit.
This, there's not been imagery to come out of Real Housewives this iconic in a very long time. The fucking police sketch.
So like, if you're not hiding under your covers for this, then you can handle The Last of Us.
We need... I don't like to dress in like theme with people, but if we do end up going to P-Town this summer, we all need photos with the fucking sketch of Juan's mistress.
Yes. But who is the Grand Dom?
Exactly. We need sketches on a t-shirt.
That's so scary. Oh my God. Ms. Ashley. I mean, the thing is like, she's doing what she's supposed to do.
Bone collecting.
She's collecting the bones.
The thing is, I think what's happening is there's so many bone collectors on this show that it's like, we're in a graveyard.
Yeah. It's like in The Lion King, the hyenas like playing in that bone graveyard.
Oh my God. I had like
Whoopi.
Whoopi. I had like a play set where you could be with the hyenas in the graveyard as a kid.
That set you up for Potomac.
Yeah.
I'm glad and sad because Candace is getting a break because the spotlight's off of her for all of this trip.
It's great to see Candace just react on this trip.
Just to have fun, but then like we're not getting a lot of her.
I know, but like when we're getting her, it's just like her like peeking over to Sharice's phone. Like,
when she says, this girl lives to tell other people's business about Ashley.
Like Ashley just like fucking can't contain herself. She's like, Karen just told me something that I'm not supposed to tell anyone.
I'm not going to tell anybody.
She's like a kid on the playground. And then they start guessing. Hello, we're finally going to get there.
Yeah. There's only so many women. I mean, this is a large cast, but like we will remember everyone's names. Okay, we drive down to Tulum, which was exciting for me because I've been there. And once we got there, I was like, oh yeah, like I feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
Like they weren't like, it wasn't like the moon landing filmed on set. No, we were in Tulum, baby.
When we were like walking through the shops and like, I think Wendy was like, should we all get friendship bracelets? And Mia was like, but we're not all friends.
It was good. Okay, so Ashley telling Robin what Karen said. And then Robin calling Juan. Why would you do this?
And it's just like makes Juan look so bad and so guilty.
Juan doesn't come to reunions anymore.
He hates this.
He doesn't like being on the show. He likes the check. He likes a dual income house after everything we've been through, losing all our money due to our best friend, which caused our divorce.
I'm not a therapist. I don't know a lot about anything, actually. But I actually do think, like, there's an interesting dynamic at play between Juan and Robin.
Mm-mm.
High school sweethearts.
Mm-hmm.
Robin's family brought Juan in at a very young age after his parents both tragically died. I think we're dealing with two people who have become really codependent in a lot of ways and who both maybe haven't grown up in a lot of ways because they've both been in each other's lives in this way.
You're giving therapy right now.
Am I?
Yeah.
But no, but don't you think that's like something to do with it? I just always think about this interview that really, it was the first time with Robin I really touched down on her. And it was when she talked about the relationship with Juan.
What interview?
It was another podcast.
Okay.
It was like, I don't think you probably listened to it. Sure. But she talked at length about her relationship with Juan and the whole parents of it all.
Mm.
And like his parents dying like really tragically and like all of that. And I think that's all compounded, obviously. Mm. And I probably think some of these things may be true allegedly. And I just think that they're in this like weird relationship where it's like they don't know how to quit each other, but they also have like this like toxic, really youthful, haven't grown up in a lot of ways relationship.
Well, we did get the news this week. We didn't cover this in the news segment that they did actually get married.
But it's not confirmed by any sources. It's not even confirmed by Bravo or them.
Wait, what?
It's like it's from a source.
But it's on People, People's Bible.
I know, but like if you read the People article, I can pull it up to make sure.
No, but wasn't it? It is going to be the finale episode.
Yeah, but it's like I don't think Bravo confirmed it, nor did Robin.
That's fine because if we're saying it's going to be the finale episode, I think enough people know that it will be the finale episode.
Sure,
but especially if next week we're doing the Bachelorette party, I think.
Yeah, no, but I mean like...
Plot-wise.
But at the end of the day, with their relationship, do you think it's a real marriage? Do you think it's a real wedding?
Oh, you sound like Karen right now.
I know, but that's like that's exactly what we're talking about.
No, I do think... I mean, I...
We're talking in allegations.
I mean, I think everyone's relationship looks different from everyone else's. And I think they've probably landed in a place where they're like, yeah, we are going to just be together for the rest of our lives. Okay. When we go for lunch in Tulum.
At Ziggy's? Did you think of Big Little Lies?
No.
You know the little kid named Ziggy?
Yeah, young Sheldon.
Yeah. All I thought about was Big Little Lies the entire time we were sitting there.
No, well, no. While we were sitting there, I'm like, oh, was I here?
Were you there?
I don't think so. But like, to be honest, like in Tulum, you could like walk up and down the whole thing. Like the beach strip. There's then the city, not city, I don't know. Yeah, the city of Tulum. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
When Mia asks if someone could like move down one so that she doesn't have to sit next to Jacqueline.
Well, no, it was Giselle asked if Mia could move down one so she could sit next to Robin.
Oh, yes.
And
then it ended up
Mia sitting next to Jacqueline.
Yes. Okay, that was what it was. Yeah.
Giselle kept on stealing, not stealing, but like grabbing that fucking fancy tequila bottle, which I know costs like over $100.
Okay, yeah. When we were doing that, I was like, I want to land on this tequila bottle.
So I...
It's $100 in a restaurant, or is there 100 in like the liquor store?
Liquor store. It's like, I know it's an expensive tequila bottle because my cousin's friend like bought it for her 21st birthday. Mm-hmm. And it was like a big purchase for them at 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's probably like 150. Okay. And then like the gag is like, you can use it for a decoration.
Oh my God. It's like when you're in college and you put like neon highlighters in like the liquor bottles.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so sick.
No, but and then they just like she kept on grabbing it, and then Candace at the end of the episode was like walking out with it and was like, someone told me I could take this.
Candace, I'm not enough.
I agree. But like the amount we're getting right now is good because she's not in the line of fire.
It's nice for whatever break. Okay, we are saying Andy Cohen by name.
Which I love.
This episode. Asking if we would have a threesome.
And we're flashing back, and Robin was correct, her saying she didn't want to have a threesome, but then Juan caught red-handed.
Yeah. with the Karen doppelganger. Okay.
But no, wait, can we talk about Karen's description of Juan when he hugs her? Her breasts go to the back of her...
To her backbone.
To her backbone. And the fact that there was footage of her describing that without naming Juan to Giselle early...
In the beginning of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when she was talking about it, I was like, who is she talking about? Yeah.
And Giselle, in her confessional, was like, I thought she was talking about Michael Darby.
Yeah, and then it's like back to that, like, him creeping and laughing. And
they can only use the one shot of Michael Darby with the glass in his hand.
When... Okay. I was excited to jump to something, but the Jacqueline shutting it down, it's like, no. I don't think you understand. Like, we're on a TV show.
I know. But she's new.
I know. But also, this is like... I mean, obviously we see like family shit go down, which is your entire life, but this is a 30-year friendship that we are.
It's a 30-year friendship
setting that, fire to.
Exactly. That involves her mom and her children as well.
Mia saying, I was with your mother on Mother's Day. Where were you? And then we get like a nice palate cleanser of Giselle saying, adios. Is that Spanish or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
So stupid. But also that feels like, I don't know.
I'm glad we got to a Wendy Mia makeup.
It felt sexual.
Well, we end with like a horror, like semi-horror movie.
Yeah.
Lightning, gasps.
The boxes. Animal sounds. But like when Wendy walked into Mia's room, like they were both wearing very similar outfits, the spaghetti straps. For me, spaghetti straps always remind me of like when I had crushes on girls when I was young.
Okay.
And I was like, oh wow, something's going to go. They're both sitting on the bed.
I am upset we flash forward through dinner.
Yeah, but it's like a fun choice, I think.
Mm, okay, it's a fun choice. Like, give me one more episode. Okay, maybe not. Next week, Bachelorette. Which someone's not invited to? Or
Karen and Wendy aren't invited to.
Wendy. Why is Wendy is the winner?
Well, I mean, like, because Wendy fought with Robin the entire season.
I know, but weren't we, like, having fun... In Mexico? Were we fighting them?
Not fighting, but just not getting along. Mm. Also, the
thought we made up. Didn't we make up at Candace's graduation?
Yeah, but it wasn't real. Mm. Also, you saying Wendy is a winner as the example, it's like that's what at the height of them fighting.
I know, but she's the winner. Okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get to Salt Lake City. Which we had like a respite, a break, one might say.
Yeah.
Which I think served us well.
It made me miss them. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. But I wouldn't, like, the bar was low. And then the bar was low. I mean, the bar low.
The bar? Well, yeah, Dan's a Lisa Barlow fan.
No, I'm not.
I have receipts from today.
I just think, like, guys, there were parts of this where I'm like, how is this your battle plan?
I need to get my head about me for this one because there's so many things about this reunion where I'm like, baffled. Mm.
The one thing I was not baffled by is...
Angie H having the best look.
All right, Stan, relax. Cool your horses. It raining as we start, and it's like, this winter has just been rain in New York City, baby.
I know.
Hasn't it?
Well, today's the first Thursday in weeks that it wasn't raining when I came over here.
I know. The Sprinter van arrival... What are we doing?
It's giving corny, but we need to fill space. Also, didn't you notice, didn't it feel between like commercials, we were getting a lot more transitions as far as like, we're showing like lighting things going up. We're like showing people doing things electrical. We're showing the street a little more. We're like, we'll get just going straight back into the reunion on other things. We're filling space.
Okay, I don't think this is... singular to this reunion. I think this has happened other times. I think there are also, I think last season's Beverly Hills reunion, for instance, was, as you're describing, jamming it all in.
Sure, maybe, but it just felt like we're not...
Whereas like maybe this season's Atlanta was similar to this, where we were filling space.
Yeah. It just felt like we're showing the streets of New York City a lot more for this Salt Lake reunion than we would if we were ever in New York back in the day.
Okay.
We're doing like when at the beginning of the runway on RuPaul's Drag Race, when the things go up, we're doing that a lot.
The world is your runway.
Yeah. We're pushing the sound thing up a lot.
Okay. We're pushing
the sound. Go back and look. I noticed.
Okay. Jen was invited, but her legal team advised her against.
It's like at this point.
Well, her legal team should have advised her to do many things that she should have adhered to the advice.
I mean, she should not have picked up that phone.
she should have kept going. Okay. We learned that Jen called Heather before changing her play. Which we didn't know, like, because we knew they had the slumber party. We're like, did they have the slumber party being like, girls... I'm innocent.
Right. Heather.
Top loser of the week.
So. To me. Can I trust her?
Trusting Heather or trusting Jen?
Heather.
Okay. Birds of a feather.
I just don't. I don't get her, and I understand. So I've heard arguments from the other side.
Yeah.
We were texting with her friend P. Schlarm earlier.
Yeah.
And he was doing a defense of Heather, which like I started to like understand.
As a lawyer would.
Yeah. I started to understand a little bit of what he was saying as far as like the black eye thing. Trauma. I was like, the trauma, like she had a lot of shame about admitting the black eye thing.
Because of her Mormon upbringing.
I definitely see a lot of that. Like I can hear both sides here.
Yeah.
Just like... the abuse she takes from Jen, like we heard the thing later in the episode about like how Jen was trying to take her business down right before San Diego.
And she's like, yeah, just part
for
the course.
She just like shrugs it off.
It's, if you're a friend with Jen, this is part for the course. You have an out. This woman is going away.
Yeah.
For years.
I just don't get it.
You don't have to be rah-rah anymore.
I just don't get it. And you know, like I always used to try to find the best in Heath.
So, to me, one of the glaring examples of this reunion was when Meredith and Heather were like downplaying the champagne pour on Angie K.
I was like, okay, of course Heather is doing this.
Yes.
But then when Meredith like tried to downplay it, it made no sense.
Yeah. I mean, Meredith, if she used her powers for
could
good...
could be one of our greatest.
Could be an ultimate. But, like,
yeah.
The brain's not screwed on tight.
It feels like a few of us are just lost.
Mm. Which is... And I know you hate me saying it, but, like, to me, of the main four, Lisa Barlow is making the most sense.
About what?
About everything.
Okay. I just don't think any of them are making sense about anything.
I know, but so I think the other three are the worst at making sense. So that leaves Lisa Barlow.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't know what...
But what's an example of her making sense?
For me, it's more everyone else is constantly going astray.
Sure. But I mean, like, her... just like the ketamine thing.
The pills and the ketamine. Da, 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 da. Well, I mean, it was funny to me, us calling Jen Shah, like, as our defense witness. And it's like, if this was a court of law, we'd be bringing up all of Jen's convictions.
Sure.
As a character witness.
Sure.
You know? And which is like what she did. She's like,
it's
okay.
It's like so hard to talk about this show because it's like...
miserable.
I just don't know. Like, where are we going? What do we do from here? It's like even Andy's like lost, it feels like.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Friends are already on their way in, 30 minutes in. I love how we introduce... We have the flashback of how we introduce Dana to the group.
Mm-hmm.
How Heather was like, oh, this is Dana from Beauty Lab.
Yeah.
From Beauty Lab as a customer.
Yeah. And so these three friends, it's like the three wise men coming.
Oh my God. Timely in January, actually.
Yeah. They're here for the epiphany.
Okay. Dana, we show the clip that was erased from the season that was in the trailer. And then we get more backstory as to why she went off on Jen.
Yeah, but the backstory, like, none of these three women are ready for primetime. Actually, none of these seven women are ready for primetime.
Okay.
But, like, these three women in particular, like, they can't really name anything that they, like, care about. Or even Dana trying to explain why she went off on Jen had something to do with Angie H.,
Oh, I missed that part.
She was like, because Jen was so nasty to Angie H.
Yes.
But she like forgot Angie H's name mid-sentence. Like, it's just like...
Well, listen, just say Angie, you're...
No.
Like, two out of seven, you're right. I would say, to me, the least ready for prime time was Angie K. Because, like, I think a lot of her points were right, but just, like, her delivery felt very... like she was like going through her rehearsed talking points.
Mm-hmm.
I think Angie H is probably most comfortable on camera. And then I think Dana probably makes the most sense of the three. That's where I'm landing.
Yeah. But do we believe that John Barlow almost got kicked out of the Utah Jazz game?
I don't know. But
who do you think has more power in Salt Lake? Lisa Barlow or Angie H? Because this does feel like... It does feel like they're talking a little bit like...
Lisa Barlow.
Like power in Salt Lake.
I mean, Lisa Barlow, I feel like if you are Sundance adjacent, that's like power in Salt Lake.
That's Park City, bitch.
Is that right next to it. Isn't that all the same thing? No. I did love Andy asking, Lisa, are you a fan of the Jazz? And she's, I'm actually a really big fan.
You are a Lisa Barlow stan.
No, I'm not. Don't say that.
You you texted it today.
No, I was doing like the Wendy Osefa, like, am I a Nikki fan?
Exactly.
Okay, but that's just like...
Where she was declaring she's a Nikki fan.
That's a bit.
Okay.
We get to the black eye and we're going this way and that way. We're remembering Marilyn died in the nude. They were doing flashing their boobs just like Marilyn did. What the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah. Heather was talking about the last thing she remembers was flashing their boobs. And then her thing is that she felt so much shame about blacking out and maybe hurting herself that she didn't want to... She wanted to make light of it, which is why she wasn't clear with her story from the jump.
Or in confessionals.
That's where my issue comes about.
Yeah.
Because I can see it the morning of.
Yeah, of course. That was all 24 hours. Like, we did 3 episodes within 24 hours, yeah. I think. Yeah.
But, like, when it comes to confessionals and, like, the producers are asking her.
Yeah.
And it's like, now we're talking about producer investigations.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's... We touched on something in the reunion that didn't cross my mind of, like, producers being concerned that they're implicated.
Exactly.
Because if it's not a cast member, the other people who are in the room are production.
Exactly. But no production was in the room at that time because remember we were seeing everything from that one camera the room. But I guess maybe her fall happened at another part of the like pool house that didn't have cameras.
But then it's also interesting that Meredith, your best bud, is saying... I didn't think, she's like, I'm not that drunk. And I didn't think anyone was that drunk.
Yeah. Meredith's walking us through like, nobody was drunk at dinner because we only had one drink. And then we only went to the club for 20 minutes. But I will say.
If you're up until 4:50, you're drunk.
But also, weren't we at a winery earlier in the day with some of the girls? Wasn't that the location before?
Can't keep track.
I think it was the... 2 excursions, 1 roller skating, 1 winery, then they came together.
Was it winery or just like having lunch somewhere? Was that surfing and lunch?
Maybe.
I think that was surfing and lunch day.
No, surfing and lunch day was Greek dinner.
Yeah. But that Greek dinner is oh, that's okay. Okay.
Cuz we were Marilyn Monroe night.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Whatever. Oh no, Greek dinner was the next night. Oh my God, I'm so, because she had the black eye at
Greek dinner. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I'm confused. Yeah, they were talking about the black eye at the winery. So yeah, you're surfing and lunch is right, but it was a boozy lunch. Mm. So she was probably drinking.
I don't know. I mean, so my only thought, which it does not apply to every situation, I'm going to preface this by saying this, but I feel like I've been in situations where I've been super drunk and then something happens
and you wake up
that knocks you out of your drunkenness, whether it be a physical thing or like a dramatic occurrence that knocks you out of it a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think a black eye could occur and that not happen, but I think a black eye could occur and it probably would happen.
But if she was like alone and she fell and maybe she passed out after she fell and woke up with the black
eye. That's
And nobody else was around.
Yeah. Sure.
That's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's I never believed the hype of like anything or anyone else actually doing it, but it's like Heather stringing us along, making us believe someone else could have done it.
Well, even the show, doing it with like the door handle jingling.
Yeah.
Setting it up as if someone came in and did it.
Yeah.
Was like confusing to us as a viewer.
Yeah. I feel like this Salt Lake chat has been the most nonsensical chat ever.
Let's make some sense with what I think is like an iconic episode of Miami.
Let's go. Wow. The best show on television.
Best show on television.
Can I just say?
Can you say? Let me just say.
It does feel like Miami is just getting better and better.
Mm.
And I'm not like being hyperbolic or I'm not exaggerating where I think this might have been one of the best episodes of Real Houses of Miami that there's ever been.
I mean, for me, the specific scene of the lunch is what like solidifies it.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, our best Housewives episodes always are around one big event that becomes iconic.
Yeah, but we pick up with the to be continued at Dr. Nicole's engagement.
And can I just say...
You can.
This man who is with Adriana...
Yeah.
An icon? A Housewives icon?
I mean, he is being nasty, but with good reason.
With very good reason, as we come to learn, especially later.
Yes, yeah.
Like,
He's asking, can you read? Little did he know that the question you should be asking is, can you scroll?
Can you scroll? Do you know how to get to the bottom of the form?
Yeah. I mean,
just like, also like the tapestry of who's sitting here.
The tapestry.
It's like, we've got this guy. We've got Adriana. Julia, just like, always there, always in her own world, always
bandage
giving us
up
what we want. Mm-mm. Versus Alexia. And then there's Marisol. And I was so proud of Marisol in this particular scene.
Oh, why?
Can I get a new best friend?
Oh, well, that was actually...
Was that later?
That was the lunch. Or was
no,
it?
No, it
that,
wasn't.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. No, no, that was the bachelor... No, the engagement party.
Yeah, she knew that Alexia was being bad. Mm-mm. She knew Alexia was being bad. And also, there's this interesting thing with Marisol. She's not that close with Adriana, but they do connect on some level. I think just, like, history's there. And I think, like, she does have some sort of, like, heart for Adriana, though she will mostly side with Alexia.
I mean, I think when they were probably selling the show back to Bravo, it was like, look, we are still in each other's lives.
Exactly. Like, they were the fighters, the two of them.
Yeah.
They really were the ones, like, trying to keep the lights on here.
Yeah.
And they got the lights back on.
Yeah. They were paying the electricity bill for a decade.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. I mean...
And Alexia storms off like a Judician woman she is.
like a true Judice. But what's funny is this all transpires... And Alexia's FaceTiming Dr. Nicole the next day, inviting her to this lunch as if
nothing happened.
And Nicole's rolling with it.
This is how you do housewives.
This is how we do it. Okay. We have Dr. Nicole having a therapy session with Lisa, who I thought we were trying to like bring in a new friend of or something.
No, but they just wanted to show us the past.
They wanted to show us Joanna Krupa
and Romaine.
And Romaine.
Wow. 2013.
That's history.
That really is history. Season 3?
Mm. Yeah.
I think they even... Did they say season 3 in like the
thing?
I
don't know about that.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe they did.
Wow. I mean, either way, to find this woman... and have her be a therapist for a brand new cast member.
I mean, like, let's start bringing others back. Where's Karrant?
I mean, we know Leah's coming.
Yeah. Can't wait.
So hold on to your hats for that.
Also, Anna's been in the news.
For what?
She went on that one podcast, Behind the Velvet Rope.
Oh, okay.
And she sounded like kind of bitter about
not being invited.
Maybe not being invited, but like she sounded like bitter about like Marisol. And I think she was actually like pointing out the fact that Marisol and Adriana fought so hard for the show to come back. And she like was making it sound like a bad thing, but it's like,
well,
hello.
It worked.
They're on Peacock. You're on podcast.
Mm-mm.
Though that podcast is very informative and Kim D's on it a lot.
Your friend.
My friends.
Friend of Brendan.
Yes.
Okay. We get to this iconic lunch pretty quickly.
Really early, and everyone's invited.
Except Gertie has a wedding, which might account for your spot in the end.
Oh, Gertie, come back. Let's play Heads Up. I bet if they were playing Heads Up at this lunch, she would come.
She would have, like, canceled the wedding. She would have shown up.
So who's coming in? So we've got, who comes in first?
Marisol comes in first, because obviously best friend probably got an earlier time invite.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Nicole showing up next, which felt stressful.
Oh, I thought it felt stressful, but good.
It felt stressful, but good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially because like these three talk Spanish to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like we could like ease in.
And you know what? I have a letter of advice to Marisol.
Mm.
Next season, get in there early with Dr. Nicole.
But like, she was the first Dr. Nicole enemy.
That's what I'm saying. Hello. Mm-mm. Build her up, Buttercup. And like, we know how we need to shift.
Okay.
And like, just like get there, start a friendship. Mm.
Okay. Okay.
Is this when Julia wanders in? Because she's always just wandering in.
I wish she brought Elvis.
I miss Elvis.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that dog, the dog birthday party on the beach, and Elvis just starts headbutting people.
You're talking about it as if it's like Roni season 3. Like, I'll never forget this. It was literally a month ago.
I know, but it's like so funny to watch that fucking goat headbutt dogs.
Okay. I gotta say, the lunch looked so good.
Yeah.
Like, the food was on point.
Also, just like, I cannot get over these fucking apartments in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
They're insane.
Yeah.
You're in a castle in the sky.
I actually, like, while watching this particular scene, I Googled Alexia Nepola net worth and, like, didn't get an answer. But I'm assuming high net worth.
Yeah. Because, like, think about it. So my other access points with Miami are like watching Roni go down to Miami. Mm. Remember like Aviva's apartment, which I thought was like a pretty nice apartment.
Sure.
But this like Alexia's blows it out of the water.
Oh yeah. Oh, before, I think it's only while Marisol and maybe the Nicole's doctor there where Alexia admits that she did not scroll to the bottom of the public records page.
Yeah.
Clown. Judice.
Clown. And like, what makes it Judician is the fact that she later will not apologize.
I mean, a normal person, after discovering this, should be like, the tail between your legs. I'm so sorry. I should have never said this.
Do you think she heard that song, It's Too Late to Apologize?
Yeah, she heard One Republic. Yes. She's like, oh, I need to follow this to the T.
She's always like, it's always too late to apologize.
So just don't apologize then. Man, oh man. Okay, so the lawyer arriving. Well, I mean, everyone arrived. Lars is arriving.
Yeah.
Lisa, I feel like Lisa's like literally late to everything.
But she has excuse.
She has excuse.
Okay. Like, Lenny's terrorizing her life.
Mm. Yeah. Sure.
Though, even if, like, I had an ex-husband who was terrorizing my life, you know what I'd be? Early.
Mm. Yeah, just get out of there sooner.
Yeah, I'd be knocking on the door at
5:59.
Mm. I did like Lisa being like, I'm walking in here. The women are already yelling. It's already making me feel better. Already putting me at ease.
Wait. Adriana defending her man about the can you read comment. She's like, do you know how to read? It was dark. We're women of a certain age.
She's like, we're 50 plus.
We're 50 plus.
Did you know Adriana's 57?
Wow. Miami is hot.
She looks incred.
Fire.
Yeah.
Wow. 57.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving me vibes right now, obsessing about age.
Someone posted about it like on Reddit yesterday, and I was like, oh, right. Dan would like that.
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot. Okay. Nicole and Lars are screaming as the attorneys are walking in to the room.
The best part of this entire thing was when Adriana and Alexia were going at it, Nicole like tries to be like nice and like transition into
welcoming.
We should all feel like when somebody's saying something to us, we have the best of intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, Larsa, you didn't have the best of intentions for me when you said that I fucked every doctor in the hospital. So like that was actually an expert move where you think she's being peacekeeper, but then she turns it around and she fucking slays.
Oh my God. Kiki, top confessional moment of the week when the attorneys are entering and she says, they should be like, order in my cohort. If you don't shut the fuck up, I'm sending everyone to jail. And she's like, can they do that?
Give her, make her a lawyer.
Make her, give her an honorary.
Oh, give her one of those court like Judge Judy shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's ready. Peacock.
You get paid to do those, and then they also pay off your shit. Did you know about that?
I think so. Yeah, so we're all just kind of like living for the applause as we go on.
Exactly, yeah. Mm.
Okay. So then like we transition to the living room for order in the court. And we're opening with Julia saying, "Don't say gay. How hard is it to adopt?" And the guy's like, "It's okay. You can adopt."
Just like, and the women are like on to her, which is fun, but she's not saying anything. Mm-hmm. She's just also like Marisol and Alexia know exactly that she like now wants to adopt.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, we have to say this lawyer looked like a young Tony Bennett.
A young Tony Bennett, like, we watched one episode of the Bernie Madoff Netflix series, and it was, like, one of, like, the younger Bernie Madoff actors in the movie.
Yeah. All these men.
With, like, a little slicked back hair.
Yeah. Like, all these
An open men. Collar.
Yeah. Like, these, like, New York men, these Miami men. They're all, like, in each other's worlds, you know?
Sure. Okay. So Julia has that opportunity. And then Nicole wants to ask about... The point is for him to talk to Lisa/Sally about divorcing. But, like, Julia had the opportunity to talk about Don't Say Gay. Nicole's talking about defamation of character. And then the crowd goes wild. Frankie's hearing the women screaming upstairs.
When it cuts to Frankie, then he starts doing the Dorinda clip.
Yeah. Frankie is a fan. Frankie was clipping. Oh my God. And then Nicole being told, oh no, like, why are you wasting his time? Like, he's here to do this. And she's like,
I'll pay his fee.
What's his fee? Sir, how much are you charging per hour?
Then she runs and gets her fucking black Amex and she puts it in his lap and he actually like grabs it and holds on to it.
I know. Well, I mean, she did like kind of throw it at him.
I know.
This is like, for me, we were like teetering on too much for Dr. Nicole.
This is perfect for me.
Okay, it's perfect.
This is high camp.
Yeah.
Have you ever held one of those black Amexes?
I don't know if I've held that, but I do know like varying weights of cards is shocking. Cause like we have like a Chase Sapphire card, which is like different from any card I've ever had before.
So when I worked at Borders in Boston, Borders Back Bay, RIP, yeah. There was this guy who came in. He was like the biggest like used car salesman in Massachusetts. I think his name was like Herb Chambers or something. Right. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Anyways, he himself came in and he bought a bunch of like stuff from me and he handed me a black Amex.
And your
card.
Like arm broke.
And it was like I can't even describe the thickness. Mm-hmm. It was like thick and heavy. Mm. I was like, oh, this is what it feels like.
This is what rich feels like.
This is what I'll never experience. This is the one time I'll experience being this rich. And it's when I'm checking you out for like 2 books at Borders Back Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun. Alexia's not backing down. Larsa's not backing down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Marisol showing the DM as if like the proof is in the pudding.
Evidence.
Exhibit A, one might say. And then Nicole reads the DM and it says, Dr. Nicole hooked up with a resident in the hospital. And she's like, yeah, I was separated and I was with a resident while being separated, which is on the way to being divorced. Why does this mean I slept with everyone in the hospital? I mean, she...
Case closed, Your Honor.
And the winner is Dr. Nicole.
Yeah. Though I appreciate Marisol trying.
Yeah.
Thing about Marisol.
Mm.
Harmless. Also, her white feather bird look with her little beak on her finger. Put in the Met.
We got a lot of good new looks this episode. I was having a lot of fun with that. I was having a lot of fun with Lisa's blurred out face as Sally.
As Sally, yeah. Before we get there, when the Dr. Nicole stuff was happening, did you notice Julia was just like on her phone? She put her glasses on. She was on her phone and like she was sitting where you could just like see her bandage. And it just like, it was a completely new person.
Love Julia.
I mean, our goat mama getting second chair at the reunion. That's iconic. Mm.
Thank you, goat mama. Then we finally, we're done with air. We go home to Star Island.
We didn't talk at length about Sally, though.
Oh, I mean, Sally was blurred out. What else about Sally?
Well, it was just the hypothetical Sally.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I was shocked that this man would agree to do this.
I know.
It feels like I don't see the benefit.
Well, I mean, like, I've always said this. Mm. About lawyers. Mm-mm. There are a lot of smart ones. They're not all as smart as everyone wants you to believe. So maybe he's like getting exposure here for his business.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was funny when Mary Sol was then like, I also have a friend named Sally. And then that's when Lisa's face was blurred out.
Yeah.
The editing is so good.
We were having a lot of fun. Okay. Let's get back to Straw Island.
This is the most confusing and the most interesting part of the show to me.
Oh.
Because you would think on any other housewife show, Lenny, like any other husband, would disappear. The fact that he's like just chilling in the same house as the cameras, and like there's like this weird dance that's happening where like he'll be on his bed and the camera's like coming around the corner, lurking.
She'll be coming around the corner when she comes. Well, at first it was like, it was almost like found footage of Sasquatch. Like,
yeah, he's just walking by.
And it's like, oh my God, he's here.
Also like the one kid like beating Lisa in the face with a toy.
Actually, that I could do like a full episode of that. Like, not her beating, not the child beating Lisa, but like just watching Lisa parent on camera.
It's very me with, like, my nephew.
But, like, imagine this is your child. And not only do you have to, like, discipline your child, but you need to do it in a way that is palatable for TV.
I know.
Ooh.
It's a hard knock life. But then Sasquatch walks by and he goes to his bed. And, like, he still doesn't know about the microphones and how they all work. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, I don't think that's covered in med school. They do some things, but not microphone class.
But, like, it's covered in, like, being a human.
Yeah. We're calling Marina, like, before, after, during.
Yeah.
And we're, like, also learning earlier in the episode that Lenny's like, get out. I don't want you in my life.
I know. He really wants her out of the house, but he's, like, I know you won't go quietly. And he's like saying this.
Mm-mm.
It's just like, if you're a lawyer, is this evidence presented in the court of family law?
Your Honor. Exhibit B.
Is Tony, like, what would Tony Bennett like argue with
Tony
this?
Tony Bennett would probably be happy we have some evidence to present to the judge.
Yeah. Also, does Rosie O'Donnell still own a house on Star Island? I don't think so.
Oh, you think she sold?
I think she sold, but does Gloria...
She should have held on. I feel like now would have been the time to sell.
She would be a great walk-on for this show. I mean, like, hello, lesbians built in.
Oh, she could get in through Julia.
Yeah.
Miami, the one to watch.
Oh, man.
A freak of the week and the one true queen are... I think it... The world revolves around Megan, really.
Yeah. Megan McCain... Just kidding. No.
So the freak of the week is Drew Barrymore doing Megan cosplay with Allison Williams.
On the Drew Barrymore show. This is technically my queen, but I let it be in the freak.
Yeah. Drew Barrymore. Say your line.
It's not my line. I read this on Twitter, but somebody joked on Twitter that every time Drew Barrymore gives an interview on her show, it's like the guest that was booked to interview was actually hired to be her babysitter for a segment. And this is like kind of, it's such a good segment because Drew's just like playing Megan.
Yeah. It's very Barbara Walters as Marilyn Monroe, move over and Ana de Armas.
Yes, please.
Move over. But our one true queen, Allison Williams, hopping on set at 30 Rock for the SNL Megan 2.0 trailer.
Beautiful.
I mean, she's doing it like no other Nepo baby's doing it.
Has she hosted SNL by herself ever?
Oh my God. I don't think so, but give it to her. She's taking it.
I mean, she should have done it for Megan.
Megan, yeah, yeah. I mean, like Kiki, Aubrey, Allison, that's a trifecta.
I know.
That would have been like an amazing run of women.
Is Allison is our best Nepo baby, right?
Yeah, this time? I think we've agreed.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of others I like.
Well, Drew Barrymore herself.
Oh, she is a good Nepo baby. Jane Fonda is a good one.
Mm-mm. But it's like, they're not babies anymore. Like.
And they're like, their people were.
They're women.
Old Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, their people who they're Nepoing were old Hollywood. But now, like, we remember Brian Williams.
Yeah. Hello. He's still here.
He faked a war or something.
he made up a war. Wow. What a week. As we mentioned, Patreon, you better be running. You better run. Comethroughqueen.com, links to that.
It's like, it's really inexpensive.
$5 a month, like a coffee these days.
People love saying the coffee thing.
I know, right? They love saying it.
And yeah, but like, say you're going to rent Megan on like Amazon this weekend. You could also rent
Come Through Queen
for life.
Well, no. I mean, here's the other thing. You join now. Let's say you've never joined before. You literally have...
From 2020.
You have 3 years worth of content. Ooh,
and you could hear us like in our breakdown era, like early 2020, early COVID.
Yeah, struggling.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're selling it.
No, but like I just watched... not to go on a tangent, but I just watched videos of the Canadian Big Brother house when they found out about COVID.
Oh.
And I thought that was so fascinating. Well,
okay, yeah. So watch us find out about COVID on Patreon. Head on over to our Instagram as well.
Yeah. Come Through Queen Podcast.
Come Through Queen Podcast. There's links to the private Facebook group. There's links to everything. And just like, comment, subscribe, heart your retweet.
Love us, please retweet.
We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Come through, Queen.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.